Hello, Toilet of Hell. This is Keegan, and I'm currently calling you in the midst of writhing in abject psychological agony as I try and pull through work. I hope you all have a Merry Christmas, and I love you. Goodbye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Ooh, yeah. It's your buddy, Joe Thrashenkill, bringing you another hot episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I've got my good buddies with me, 365 Days of Horror. Say hi, 365.
What's up?
let's bring back 90s Budweiser commercials. I think it's like been enough time that it's funny again.
Yeah, now it's ironic.
Yes, yeah, so the Borat my wife thing is played out, so we'll go back a little bit further. Anyway, we got Brennicide in the mix. Brenno, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas? I don't remember any of the 90s commercials.
Really?
No, just I like, do. I remember that one, and I remember this the scary movie reference to it, where they had the ghost mask killer with the tongue, yeah. And then they sold the tongue ghost face killer that everybody wore. For Halloween parties that year, it was dope.
Yeah, I never saw that one, which is weird because it seems like it should have been right up my alley.
It's the only movie that production company should have ever made. They should have stopped there instead of the 58 that followed suit immediately after.
Yeah, there was a real cottage industry of, parody movies of popular yeah. things that were coming out at the time. Like, you had Scary Movie, and then you had, like, Date Movie, Epic Movie. All of these things were trash. Just fucking awful, awful movies. Yeah. Except for Not Another Teen Movie. I stand by that movie as being hilarious to this day.
That's still a good movie. It's the only one. The dad with PTSD. Hilarious.
How is Randy Quaid doing nowadays? Because it seems like he's having a tough time.
Well. He's got issues and occasionally films himself having these issues. Not good.
Well, at least we have his performance in Not Another Teen Movie and Independence Day. I think he was the same person in both of those movies, actually.
He's not acting. He's never been an actor.
Yeah, he's never been acting. They throw him in there to just, do his thing.
In all the National Lampoon's Family Vacations where he showed up, he was still pretty much Randy Quaid.
Cousin Eddie, yeah.
Yeah.
Shittersful. Delightful. Every one of those movies is delightful as well. I even ride by Vegas Vacation, the most derided of the films.
Nick Papagiorgio, it was a fun movie.
It's a great movie. It's got Wayne Newton in it. Anyway, this is ostensibly a metal podcast, so I guess we can talk about metal things.
Fine.
What?
I went and saw Leif Bergson came to town, and we went and saw Neurosis and Converge together. And he's a big Neurosis fanboy, so he'd actually seen them last night as well in Dallas. Actually, I think the last time that I saw him, we went and saw Neurosis as well.
Neurosis fans really love Neurosis, I've come to find out.
Yeah,
it's
they're nuts.
True. I enjoy the band. I think they're probably the best at that kind of thing. But you guys know me. I'm a dummy, and I like riffs and silly banter and unnecessary aggression, which is not really what they do. Also, I saw Converge for the first time last night, and it just kind of confirmed what I always thought, and that it's probably the most overrated thing to come from Massachusetts since the Kennedys. Just, I do not fucks with this band at all.
Yeah, they're ostensibly okay.
Same. I'd done nothing for me, and people will say, like, fans will be like, oh, you gotta see them live to really, like, get it, and I've seen them live, and I still don't get it.
The thing about the band is that, everybody in the band is incredibly talented, except for Jake Bannon. His vocals are fucking weak. Like, if there was a basketball hoop, like, that you would try to throw up your vocals to try to hit somewhat in key, he would be like just tossing bricks into the stands, just coming just
the,
nowhere.
The underhand
close.
Granny toss.
Yeah, it's real bad, man. Real, real fucking bad.
Although I do have to say that I think heavy metal has decades of long histories of subpar vocalists just riding on the coattails of otherwise very, very talented bands.
I fully agree with you. Yeah.
Right.
Because he's got like the, you know, the typical hardcore dude vocals, and that it's just, you know, kind of yelling, not terribly good at it. And but instead of like taking all the urgency of hardcore and like a catchy sing-along bit or moshable parts, like it's just, we'll make it real fidgety and stupid to listen to.
Like a nervous dog barking over, you know, chuggy guitar.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And like, and then putting that back to back with Neurosis, like, man, Steve Montell, like, he has a great, great voice, like, incredible for, you know, doing extreme music. So, bad band. The most baffling thing about it was that there were, like, a ton of people there specifically for Converge. You can tell because they were covered in the T-shirts and LPs that they had purchased.
And all the throat tattoos you could handle.
Yeah, for I don't want to say this is a record collector core band, but
ooh, so. Yeah. Well, while we're on the topic of records and what's rated and what's overrated and such, a lot of shit dropped over the last couple weeks.
Did it?
And yeah, I don't think we had a chance to really touch base with anything regarding what happened, what didn't happen for you guys as far as what was good news stuff out there. Have you heard about any of these? We got, what did we got? We had Obscura, Skeleton Witch, Deaf Heaven, Between the Buried and Me. I'm sure I'm missing a ton of shit, but like all of them dropped albums in like a day or two.
I gave a listen to the Skelly Witch. I haven't really been a huge fan of the band. I bought Beyond the Permafrost when that came out, and I thought that was a good one, but nothing's really done it for me since that, except for, I think this new one's probably their best since that.
That's what I've heard. I have not had a chance to sit with it yet. I'll probably do so today. I'm like a card-carrying member of like the Obscura fan club. I love that fucking band so much, and I was so stoked on this album. They just do every ridiculous cliche thing in tech death all of the time, every second of their songs. So it's just kind of like technical death metal to the nth degree all the time, and they never really hold back. So it's just my go-to in that regard. Do you guys hear the new Deaf Heaven?
I still haven't listened to it. I was gonna go see them last week when they came to Austin, but I got too drunk, so I couldn't make it. So yeah. Happens to the best of us.
Oh, well. Well, to me, it just seemed like New Bermuda, but maybe a little bit better. It really was. I thought there was quite a big difference between like New Bermuda and Sunbather.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In this regard, I think this one was just a little more of just, it seems kind of like New Bermuda's A-tracks, whereas New Bermuda would have been the B-sides to this one.
So I think Brought to the Water is like just an incredible track. But you know, on repeated listens, like not much from New Bermuda really does anything for me aside from that one track. So
yeah,
I had heard Honeycomb, the first single that the Deaf Heavens put out for the new record. And it was just a little too explosions in the sky E for me.
Yeah.
I went on this huge post-metal, post-rock, whatever you want to call it, kick when I was like 20, and I don't have any desire to listen to this stuff anymore. So I guess that was what dampened my excitement for it and why I still haven't listened to it.
I will say that at the beginning of the year, we had some predictions for what would happen with bands, and I was right. There was clean singing on this record.
Oh,
and not just from Chelsea Wolfe, from the guys themselves.
Does George Clark, does he hit those clean notes?
It's probably what you would expect from a cool guy indie band. It's really not like, you know, Dio-esque or something, you know, and it's not anything insane. But he's definitely, and it's beyond what happened in New Bermuda, where he just kind of did some spoken word lyrics in that one song. It's like actually singing. So called it. I'm right. I can't get them all right, but sometimes I do. So I'm just very proud of that.
Well, I mean, they're big already with, you know, not to be cruel or anything, but like the normies around town.
Yeah.
So I figure that on the next record, they add some auto tune to those clean choruses. You're in stadium land, baby. Like, next big thing.
They're on their way, man. It's going to be a radio hit before you know it. I see it. I can picture it. Like, their really crisp, clean music video with the shaky camera and the performance in a basement or something. And there's some woman in a white dress just making jerky motions and picking up flowers and putting them in her mouth or something weird.
And, sounds like every 2004 metalcore video you just described.
Yeah. And they haven't stopped. If you go on YouTube and watch any music video with under 112,000 views, they're all like this.
Yeah. So we'll actually get into that later on in the episode.
Sick.
You know, I don't want to stop the flow here, but I figure we could go ahead and introduce our topic for this week's show, because we are like 10 minutes in now.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to talk about the phenomenon of MAGA metal. The bands out there doing their best to make America great again, and also make metal great again, I suppose, by singing the praises of God Emperor Trump, I think is what they would refer to him as. You know, we didn't have to do this, of course. This is entirely Jordan's fault for sending us multiple videos throughout the week. So
I apologize for nothing.
Yeah, if you don't like this week's episode, please send Jordan an email. Don't message me. I don't want to know.
Well, the thing
what would really stick it to us is if you go to patreon.com/toiletofhell, give us $10, and then you can directly message us. That's how it works.
Yep. So I've been having a week, you guys. As soon as we're done recording this show, I'm actually going to record a guest spot for another podcast. They had me read this book called Trigger Warning, which is it's Die Hard for MAGA chuds. Like it's about like this troop that goes to a liberal arts college, and Antifa super soldiers continually try to attack him. Like it's the worst fucking thing I've ever read in my life. So I've poisoned my brain with MAGA nonsense all week. So
oh no,
if I'm more jingoistic than normal, if I'm you know, if I'm triggering the libs, you know, I guess you guys got to rein me in a little bit. All right.
Yeah, this is officially now the Joe Rogan experience, except it's like the Joe Thrashenkill experience.
Well, yeah, like what I'll do is I'll invite a bunch of white supremacists on the show and give them a platform and never once try to argue with them, and instead say, you know, I don't necessarily agree with what they say, but I just, you know, feel like we ought to hear them out. That's the Joe Rogan strategy, right? That and like talking about DMT.
Hell yeah, Billy Corgan, come on the show.
So yeah, we watched a bunch of videos with explicitly right-wing messages centered around that president we all know and love, Donald Trump. How do you guys feel about all this? Because I feel numb to everything now.
How do I feel about like the state of our nation, or how do I feel about these specific like Trump metal videos? There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, I would say the Trump videos, rather than like going into a bigger thing, like, oh, we're obviously in a nation in collapse.
Yeah, Russia did good work. Like, what can I say?
God. Yeah, well,
we have I mean, it's the thing is, I come from a place of satire. Like, I'm just a guy who really knew how to piss people off. And I'll say it. There's absolutely guys out there who play MAGA online specifically to upset people. They don't really have any political affiliation any which way. They just know that like a Pepe the Frog meme will just make certain people irate and they get chuckles out of it. So when I looked at this stuff, that's kind of what I assumed immediately. But as you sit there and you listen and you go more and more into it, you start to kind of realize that maybe people are actually this stupid and play guitar this badly.
if you spend enough online, enough time online, if you wanted to do that to yourself for some stupid reason, I think that you will quickly discover that a lot of people's politics have no substance beyond wanting to trigger the libs, as it were. Like, just doing and saying things and voting in a way that does nothing but makes liberals angry. I would say that, like, half the Republican Party, that's all it is right now.
Right. Like, a solid 50% out of the millions of them. That's most.
Yeah,
it's probably, I mean, like 52, 58. Let's be real here.
You've got, I would say maybe 2% of the party is like dudes that read Reason and like Edmund Burke and like believe that there's something like noble about, you know, making kids starve. There's like probably 8% that is like actual neo-Nazis, like the Paul Neelands and such. 20% is children that spent too much time on 4chan. And then 30% is uncles that don't get invited to dinner anymore because they can't quit being assholes to everybody at the table.
Yeah, I wonder what percentage of that is people like Ben Shapiro, who only see dollar signs and just know exactly what sort of incendiary shit to say to get shares and get support and, you know, get whatever sort of media he publicizes. So I don't actually know what he is or what he does.
He's a mannequin.
He's been the virgin.
Yeah, you want to go ahead and because you shared that with me recently, Jordan. Please tell him.
So when I say Ben the Virgin, that's not me coming up with the nickname. That is, I have it on good authority from someone who was there when he was at Harvard Law School. He was known as Ben the Virgin because he was a virgin, and he like was proud of it. Like, that was his one identity. And he like tried to make it a thing, like, yeah, be a virgin. It's virtuous. It's good. Be good like me. So that's the type of guy you're dealing with. Just some sort of schmucky putz who is unlikable and thinks his flaws or problems are his, like, his weaknesses are his greatest strengths. And he has found this little audience of similar dorks and nerds online, and he can rile people up and get whatever money he makes out of it, or weird appearances on TV, and his little shtick. This happens a lot. I mean, like, Ann Coulter is the best example of this. Someone who just says shit, people get mad. She sells another, you know, 50,000 books that she farts out every year, and that's her life. And, you know, majority of people hate her guts.
Yeah, I'm going to say this word a lot on the show, and I apologize in advance, but I really don't know what other word to use. It's a grift.
Grift.
Yeah, it's all a grift. And I think that you've got a lot of media savvy nerds that are willing to say anything because it plays into the grieved politics of a huge portion of the nation. People that are just mad at the sun for coming up every morning because they think that it's an Obama conspiracy. And there is a lot of money to be made in lubing up and greasing their rage to make their rage more smooth, pleasurable.
So we're thinking that's what's happening here in the music scene, is we got guys...
Some of it.
Yeah.
I would say not all of it.
I would think maybe let's begin with one that is so purely, blatantly a grift that there's just no denying it. I am talking, of course, about the Heaney Boys. You guys are familiar with them Heaney Boys, right?
So beyond the video I watched, which sounded like an 8-year-old singing metal, I am not.
Okay, so did you ever, I guess back in like 2012 maybe, or 2009 actually, I think.
Earlier, yeah.
Yeah, there was a phenomenon known as Balloon Boy. Is that ring a bell?
Well, we got to go back further because it's even before Balloon Boy, and I'm sorry I know all this, but you could actually go to toiloofhell.com and look up the Heaney Boys. I did a video breakdown for the song we're going to talk about.
All right.
But in it, I explained that There was earlier in like the mid 2000s, there used to be a show called Wife Swap. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah,
they were on this show.
That's
their mother swapped families with another one. They were some sort of freak family. The father like is unhinged on TV. They all have serious problems, and they have these three sons, and they're clearly exploiting their kids, which led to Balloon Boy. Feel free to talk about that.
Okay, so Richard Heaney, the patriarch of this family, he's just kind of a piece of shit. Like, it seems like he's had a tough time like paying bills for most of his life. He's, you know, hasn't been able to hold down a job really, and to, you know, resolve that, he's just kind of been a low level grifter. So I think that his dig at wife swap, at pretending to be a crazy person on that, was, you know, trying to get some notoriety so that maybe he could leverage that into something else. When that didn't work, what he did was the Balloon Boy stunt. He was building
he built
a balloon in his garage because the guy's, you know, a part-time like tinkerer and builder. That's just one of his things. And it escaped. Like, it was a fairly sizable thing. Like, it went flowing away. His wife made the call to the police that the thing was flying through the air above Denver with their six-year-old son inside of it, that the son had climbed inside of it. So in the process, they shut down like the Denver airport. Like, they suspended all flights over Denver while this inanimate object that was, you know, did not have a child on it, spoiler, was sailing harmlessly through the air. It ended up, like, he got one count of, like, defrauding a public servant or something like that, because I don't think anybody knew what to charge him with. So he was on probation for, like, 5 years. It was a pretty, I don't know, a pretty light sentence, I guess, for creating this horrific media spectacle.
Taxpayer money,
all that shit.
Yeah, wasn't it up in the millions? It got like national coverage for.
It was on like CNN Live.
Yeah, he fucked up so much doing that. I remember that now.
So, and he attempted to leverage the attention into merchandise sales, action figures, public appearances. Part of the deal with his probation was he was not allowed to try to monetize the Balloon Boy thing anymore. So when you have one stunt that peters out and you can't do it anymore, you got to find a new stunt. Enter the Heaney Boys. Jordan, you want to take it from here?
So the thirst for fame just didn't stop with Balloon Boy. He, I guess, convinced his three sons to start a metal band.
I would argue that he didn't convince him of shit. He made him do it.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting a little bit older, so they are at least have some sort of, well, I won't get into it. I'm sure they're screwed up. Anyway, they started this metal band, but they're not, you know, good musicians. They don't really know how to play their instruments or anything like that. But what they did do was put a pro-Trump song called "The Youth of America" with wonderful lyrics, if you'll allow me, such as communist, socialist, globalist, not patriotism, selling out, Saudi connection, votes don't count, it's a rigged election, Alex Jones and Drudge Report, telling it like it is, Donald Trump, American Creed, Trump, and so on.
That was my favorite part, was Trump.
I really can't stress this enough, that this is an incredibly shitty song. Like, Richard Heen don't know shit about producing. Like, this sounds like it was put together, like, with just stock software that came with your Compaq in 1999. It's real bad. Let's listen to it.
Communist, socialist, globalist, not patriotism, selling out, signing connections, votes don't count, it's a rigged election! Alex Jones and Drudge Report, selling it like it is.
So yeah, man, it's bad. It's real bad. It sounds like it was made by 8-year-olds. but what's fucked up? What's fucked up though is like it won't be too long now until like Falcon Heaney, the balloon boy, is gonna be like 18. Like, I wonder what that dude's life is gonna be like.
He'll be a porn star.
Do you think there's like a market for that?
Well, yeah, there's a balloon porn.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. You're right. What is that again?
So it's this fetish where usually it's like girls bouncing on top of oversized balloons. They made fun of this on Bob's Burgers once, so I'm not just like a super internet creep. This is like out in the mainstream, you guys. So it's just like it's a fetish where guys watch these naked or half naked girls just jumping up and down on top of really oversized balloons. And I guess there's some sort of rush out of whether, you know, they're going to pop or not in the next bounce. And guys just get off of that. So I'm saying that Balloon Boy should get in on that sort of action.
Yeah, no, surely there are lots of people that can't wait to see that. Gross. Anyway, I don't believe Heaney Boys are active anymore. I was looking at their website. It looks like they haven't done anything since 2016. So
darn.
I'm sure that Richard Heaney is working on another grift or in the throes of an active grift. So I'm looking forward to figuring out what that is.
I don't know, man. I think this song got Trump elected. I mean, you know, the lyrical content maybe isn't my thing and I don't really care about that, but those riffs.
Yeah.
Those riffs. Fucking riffs, man. Just, did you hear that groove, you know?
Well, I mean, we can't maybe argue, like, it's entirely possible this was the final straw that, like, actually got Trump elected. Somebody was scrolling through YouTube, you know, because, like, 50,000 people have watched this, so that could have been enough to sway the election in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it might not have been a difference of 50,000 voters, but maybe 50,000 voters were inspired to tell their friends and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, you know, Trump's America permeated throughout the land.
So I guess that's the risk, though, when you tie your grift to worship of another grifter. Because, you know, Richard Heaney, obviously, he was the sole factor that got Trump elected, but Heaney didn't himself benefit from it. So
brothers in grift.
Brothers and grift, that's another thing to bring up. Do you want to lead in on that one?
So I came across this really recently while trying to find some other related issues. There was a Vice article with the headline that caught my eye. These brothers love Trump so much they formed a band. And it's two brothers, the Oliveras brothers, who are in another band called State of Insomnia, who fell in love with Trump when they heard him speak and decided to make just another shitty pro-Trump metal song. This is just from the Vice article. The band's first single, Trump for America, is a musical collage of patriotic cliches, including a sample of children reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. The song started gaining traction when the Right Side Broadcasting Network, a conservative news site, included the song every time they broadcast a Trump rally. To date, it's been viewed, I mean, when this was written a few years ago, on YouTube over 55,000 times. And they've been on some conservative radio shows as well. And it's a shit song, to the surprise of no one.
America, America, you gotta fight for America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, red, white, and blue, America.
Dreaming of America.
Pledge allegiance to the flag.
It is a shit song. It is leagues better than the Heaney Boys track, though.
It's better, but still shit. It's a different flavor of shit.
Now, I saw this video, and I could not believe that this was not satire. In my heart of hearts, I can't let it go. It's so goofballs. And they'll just have, like, random stock footage of like a child with a hand on his heart for the Pledge of Allegiance and then just like Trump waving at a crowd or something. It's the most impossible thing.
I guess, you know, somebody who's just irony poison like me watches something and it's just like, this is so on the nose pandering. Like, who buys this shit? And the answer is a lot of people. A lot of people are like, the America, the flag, the Pledge of Allegiance, these are all unequivocally good things. Because I guess there's no a lot of people have never questioned that maybe reciting a pledge of loyalty to a flag every morning as a child isn't like a deeply weird and fucked up thing for kids to do. Like, everybody talks about how, like, brainwashed North Americans are, and then, you know, we have our displays of loyalty. We will destroy our country's most popular sport because the football man won't stand up for the flag.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Even when I was a little kid, I remember I just didn't want to stand up. I didn't care. I just didn't want to stand up, and I got, like, detention for it. You know, there's like severe consequences as a child for not falling into this shit, for not falling into fucking line to a T.
It's a discipline thing.
Yeah. You ever go to a baseball game and not stand for God Bless America or the because you got two of them. You got two of them now. Like, you've got the fucking national anthem at the beginning of the game, and then you've got God Bless America in the seventh inning because. We have two state-sanctioned sponsored displays of patriotism in one baseball game. But anyway, if you don't stand up, people all around you are going to throw beer at you. It fucking sucks.
It's just one of those things where it's like the path of least resistance to just stand up and take your hat off. You know, even if you don't feel like it, even if it's not. Even if it's not anything that you believe in or you care for, it's like everybody just does it because everybody else does it. And, you know, I feel like I hear that sort of shit from people who are in North Korea. They're like, oh, yeah, we know our country's bullshit, but, you know, we all do it. So here it is.
Yeah, it's just kind of like the power of the masses that compel you to do something that otherwise, like, you wouldn't do. Kind of like... You know, we people can do a lot of really bad things when you have the force of the crowd behind you.
Like make some of these songs.
Or burn literature.
Yeah.
I think this is the same as burning music when you make music like this. I think it's exactly the same. I think it's like taking the book of metal and just setting it ablaze in the street.
This is really like the antithesis of art, though. Like this
it
is
really, truly is.
This was manufactured to, because what was it like? Samuel Johnson. He had that famous quote. It was like, "Patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel." I think that it's the most prescient statement of our times, and that you can wrap yourself in the flag and kiss and hug and caress the flag, and everybody assumes that you must be a good, God-fearing patriot when there is nothing behind it. What does it mean to love your country? What does it mean to, like, respect the flag? It means absolutely nothing to me, but, I mean, I am, like, a godless communist, so who knows?
Yeah, you know, God help a politician that doesn't wear an American flag pin now.
It's like, I'm proud to be an American, but it's like, pride comes from accomplishment. You didn't fucking do anything, man. You just, you know, slid out of a lady in a hospital bed in this place. So I don't, you know, it's like not a point of pride that you live on this big rock as opposed to the other big rocks in the world.
Yeah, man. And if anything, like, if you were to consider your place in the world and all of the things that your country has done to other people all across the world in the name of American supremacy, like, might be something to be a little ashamed of.
What I can't wrap my head around when it comes to, like, any sort of conservative art is it's just like I wouldn't call metal leftist right out of the gate, because I don't think that's really what it is. I think most of it, and most of it that's good and respected, and, you know, the things that we remember are more anti-establishment. And to just be like pro-establishment and, you know, yay cops is just very strange to me.
Yeah, we should.
It's like SC Johnson, a family company. It's just so fucking strange.
We should talk about the Cops then. The jackbooted thugs we all know and love, the Cops. You sent me this, Jordan, because I would have never found this on my own. Do we want to talk about Bad Wolves?
No. We might as well. They're kind of, sort of gaining traction right now. Like, I think their biggest single recently was a song they did with the Cranberries vocalist, who passed away before they released it. They did a cover of Zombie, and I think that single went gold.
What a fucking shame that Dolores O'Riordan and like her last work was with these group of chuds.
So it's a kind of metalcore-ish hard rock band that's like, I compare it to a fastball right down the middle. You know exactly what you're going to get. There's nothing weird about it. And it appeals to the very basic, like, hard rock metal fan and really no one else. So not us, but, you know, your average Five Finger Death Punch fan is all about it. And it also has... Doc Coyle is a guitarist from God Forbid.
Right.
And another Tommy band Vext,
has never done
Tommy Vext is the vocalist, who people might remember from Divine Heresy, a small band.
Or Snot.
Yeah,
The band that did Your Balls, My Chin.
Oh, My Balls, Your Chin.
Oh, I read that song.
You had a different version. I don't know.
I thought that was an incredibly progressive song.
Yeah, no, I've heard this song. I've heard Bad Wolves just before this podcast, and they're obscenely like in the vein of Five Finger Death Punch. I feel like if I was a Five Finger Death Punch and Bad Wolves were to open for them, I would be stoked for that terrible, terrible tour.
Well, here's the thing. The band is managed by Zoltan Bathory of Five Finger Death Punch, so that is not a coincidence. I think that This band was created to ride the Five Finger Death Punch train. And it makes sense. Like, everybody in this band is somebody that's been in mainstream metal bands for years. It's veterans of this watery butt rock kind of metal.
So. It's like a pooper group.
Yeah. Got him. Rack 'em.
Nailed
fuck.
It.
The band is currently... because. I was asking you guys in the group chat before this, like, how would you even define this genre? Like, it's butt rock, but it also has, like, down-tuned chugs. And you said that it reminded you of Breaking Benjamin. And, well, actually, they're on tour right now with Five Finger Death Punch, Shinedown, and Breaking Benjamin.
I just, like, I think I was just sitting in a tattoo parlor, and, like, I just heard the song come on, and I just assumed it was one of those bands. Trapped, Breaking Benjamin, 3 Days Grace. They're all interchangeable any point in time. It could have been any one of them. Shinedown, maybe. Who knows? It's just that exact kind of style. And it was that Cranberries cover. And I just didn't think much of it. I didn't know it was some whole new band with a whole new angle on how to make bad 2004 music.
We did that entire bonus show about, like, the death of rock radio, and every one of those bands is responsible for it.
Yeah, it's all their fault.
But more to the point, Jordan, you want to tell us why Bad Wolves are relevant to our current conversation?
They recently put out a track called Officer Down, not to be confused with the movie that Sean Crahan directed.
Oh,
it's actually on Netflix now. I've actually watched it.
Is it?
Oh man, that's gonna be.
That's You know what? Maybe we can do that for a bonus Patreon episode. We can watch that and review it.
I can't wait to consume more bad media.
It's what we deserve. But anyway, with this Officer Down song, there was some backlash from people thinking that it was like an anti-police song. And Tommy Vext, who is definitely a calm individual, went to Instagram and said, it's a bit long, but it's worth the read. Tonight, we were privileged enough to be escorted by Johnson City's finest at our sold-out show at Capone's here in Tennessee. Considering the times we are...
Sorry.
Considering the times we are living in, I must say how reassuring and grateful we are as artists to feel protected by these men in uniform. Now, unfortunately, this brings up another issue. I have been reading many confused comments regarding our song Officer Down this past week, and this is where I stand. These lyrics are written to serve as a productive conversation starter addressing the issues of documented police brutality and more specifically the media's slanderous and false projection of all law enforcement. It continues, false narratives that we have witnessed led to the assassinations of officers in Dallas, Texas and Brooklyn, NYC by cowardly, unstable scum. We in Bad Wolves are not an anti-cop band. As a boy who grew up in New York City during 9-1-1 and firsthand witnessed the courageous efforts of state and federal law enforcement, as well as EMS and firefighters, put their lives on the line to save victims of terror attacks, my reverence for the men and women who serve these offices can be no higher. They are as important to this country as military branches that defend our nation and its freedom. As a personal friend of the Brooklyn Assistant District Attorney spelled wrong, members of NYPD, LAPD, and a volunteer who has brought anti-drug and alcohol policy events to schools alongside the LAPD Narcotics Division, I find it laughable the ignorant, hateful dribble being spewed in some of these comments. So to all the snowflake keyboard warriors out there, all caps, your misinterpretations are not my responsibility. Buy some tissues and wipe your pussies. I don't come to your job and kick the dicks out of your mouths, so stop trying to tell me how to do my job. Look, all the best, Tommy.
I am a proud union member of my local dick-sucking factory, so I will not have this ill will.
You besmirch me.
Is that like by the hour, typically, or is it just sort of like a day rate?
Yeah, it's an hourly wage, but, you know, the union negotiated hard. So we had pretty good bennies. It's definitely worse. You know, there's nothing worse than a scab at the dick sucking factory. It's a really gross image. Wow. So the cool thing about all of this is that this is just like standard boilerplate, like reactionary nonsense. Like, I love the cops and the troops because they defend my freedom and keep me safe. Even though there's no evidence to support any of this. After 9/11, we went completely apeshit, deciding that the cops and the troops needed to be hung up to a higher echelon of society over everybody else. You know, let's give into this authoritarian madness. And now you have, you know, the military is this unaccountable mass of evil in the world that gets more money than they know what to do with. They waste so much money because everybody has to spend their budgets to justify getting a bigger budget the next year. It's actively ruining the world, and there are more conflicts and more wastes and more carbon emissions than anything needs to be made. It's bigger than the next 8 largest militaries combined. Cops have SWAT teams ready to shoot you in the head if a gamer gets angry at you, or if you happen to be a child selling candy in the street. Like, it's unaccountable. There are no consequences for any of these people because of chuds like Tommy Vex who love the cops and want to kiss and hug the cops. I love the cops. They're my best friend.
Well, what I find so hilarious about this is that he's responding to people who also love and kiss cops and give cops kisses on the dicks. It's probably the dicks they're talking about in these mouths that he's allegedly kicking out is big old uncircumcised dirty cop dicks. So I think it's so funny that he's calling them a bunch of like pussy keyboard warriors and like snowflakes and stuff, because these are your bald heads online just going off about how much they love cops and how dare you for writing an anti-cop song. And then he responds with, "I love cops more than you do, cocksucker." And it's just so funny watching those two fight.
I think that's it's funny. Yeah. Watching people fight over who loves cops more. Because like, I feel like the Democratic Party after 9/11, they were in this battle with Republicans to see like who could love and support the troops the most. If it's a battle for like the person who blindly loves the troops and thinks that, you know, like crushing socialist rebellions in Latin America is a good thing, like they're never going to vote Democratic ever. Like, why get into this pissing match over who can kiss the most cops and troops? You're never going to win.
Because it's easy to rail on people that don't. Like, it's one of the easiest things you could do. You don't like the troops, you don't like America, and people will buy that. It's going on right now. We have that right now.
And so one of the strangest things of it, when it comes to politics, is if you're running on a liberal platform and you become someone who's in office, then those systems that are so inherently shitty are now your systems. You now own that stuff. You now own the military. You own the law enforcement. Like, that's, they now are your responsibility. And honestly, the reform is non-existent. If there is any reform whatsoever, it's because people fucking riot in the streets and the local law enforcement becomes scared of another riot. So it's like, now rioting is the only way we can fucking vote in this country.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and it would not be the first time in the history of this country that's been the case. The '60s were incredibly incredibly violent and chaotic. And it seems like a lot of people will fool themselves into thinking that progress comes through simply showing up and voting for whoever is on the ballot. But the reality is that real change comes from incredible sacprices.
Yeah, like immense discourse and people running in the streets and wearing black masks and fucking shit up. It's like, you know, everybody loves to point at the peaceful protesters and say, well, hey, no, that's really Antifa. The people with the signs saying, get out of here, you jerks. It's never been that. It's always been the people throwing fists, throwing bricks, smashing windows, losing it. Like, that's the reaction that the opposite side is afraid of. And that's what makes them change. So it's like, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, there's 300 million people in this country. The status quo doesn't work for most of them. And I think that the powers that be have a real legitimate fear, as they should, of the majority of people realizing that they can take to the streets and cause immense damage, which is good. I think that's a good and great thing. The problem is, you know, the powers that be have tons of guns and no accountability.
Yeah. And it's it kind of brings us back to that conversation about the van bans versus the bus vans. It's like, you got people who maybe they want to be a business owner someday. Maybe they want to be the head of a corporation, you know, and so they want these systems in place for the moment that they become the next big thing. And they don't want to see, you know, businesses get their windows smashed because, hey, those are just good Americans like we are.
I think that actually brings us to probably the last band we're going to cover on this one, and by far the most
the best, right?
Galling to me personally. The idea basically of championing. Just ungodly wealthy capitalists, because you too could one day, if you suck up hard enough, be an ungodly wealthy capitalist as well.
If you boots real clean, you know, yeah, you just get your tongue on there real fucking good.
They'll surely respect you if you do it hard enough. It just brings us to a band that, Jordan, you and I have talked about covering for a long time, and, you know, just things have come up, haven't been able to do it, but it's a well-deserved time to shine the spotlight on Raptor Command. Have you seen this? Have you heard of this? Do you know who Raptor Command is?
I have no idea, and please enlighten me.
Okay, Raptor Command is the world's first, and God, I hope only...
please.
Elon Musk themed band.
Hell yeah.
Epic Bacon Elon Musk for the win. Yeah, they put up a Kickstarter, gosh, I think it was like 2 years ago. They raised over $5,000 to record their album. A heavy metal tribute to Elon Musk. The mission is to raise awareness of and promote Elon Musk's futurist ideas and visions for the future of humanity through the medium of heavy metal music and subculture. If there's anything that Elon Musk needs, it's more press. I think that's going to be the thing that really changes opinions of everybody.
Yeah, he doesn't have enough.
We have to talk about the most recent thing that Elon Musk got pressed for, which was trying really, really hard to be involved in the rescue efforts to save those Thai kids that were stuck in a cave. I was reading about this that the biggest challenge that rescuers have when there's a big media heavy focused rescue attempt is that you have a ton of status seeking chuds trying their best to get on camera so that they can say that they're helping, and it really makes their own efforts so much more difficult, which is exactly what Elon Musk did when he invented a child sarcophagus to try to save these kids. This was, of course, completely unnecessary, and according to the rescuers, would never have worked. When one of the dudes in charge of the rescue mission, a successful rescue mission, mind you, was speaking about it after the fact, he said that Elon Musk was strictly in it for the PR, and it was a totally unaccountable action. Elon Musk's response was to call the guy a pedophile. Galaxy brain PR.
Right. Excellent. He'll never be off the news now.
But who is Elon Musk, really? He is a guy that made a fuck ton of money with through the sale of PayPal back in like the early... late 90s, early 2000s, eBay bought PayPal for $1.5 billion, and that enriched Elon Musk and his buddy, all-around good guy, Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel, if you will recall, a huge Trump supporter, big fan of siphoning the blood from children to make sure he doesn't age, and also a real fan of free press by... funding a series of bullshit lawsuits to shut down Gawker because they called him gay once. he is a gay man. It was not like a, yeah, you're gay. It was like, hey, this, never mind. So what is your opinion of Elon Musk, like having seen, because there's a cult of personality around the guy on the internet. What do you guys think about him?
I think he is a DC Comics level villain.
Like Lex Luthor?
Like Lex Luthor, but, you know, without the bright ideas. Like, he has the money, and he has shit ideas, like drilling a hole into the earth for some reason, or flamethrowers for some reason, or shitty automated cars that burst into flames and kill people. You know, fun things like that. And how dare people criticize his genius. And he's just an all-around shitty human being with a scary cult that will defend him by any means necessary, despite the obvious evidence that he sucks ass.
There's like this oatmeal comic online that talks about how great a Tesla car is, and I've never seen such sponsored content in my life. It like sour, because I used to just, you know, I liked the oatmeal. It was just a fun web comic that had funny things to say and goofy drawings, and I just thought it was cool until that very moment where this guy went on like a 20-page comic talking about how awesome his brand new Tesla Model T was, or Model S, or whatever the fuck it is. And like, he's going off about the fact that, like, you know, everybody's freaking out about them exploding, but you know, cars explode all the time, and it updated itself over Wi-Fi with firmware and it's all sorts of other bullshit. And I just know Elon Musk had all his money in his pockets when he made it.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, Elon Musk, like, he was born in South Africa. He's a white man who was born in South Africa during the height of apartheid. His family was incredibly wealthy. He got lucky with PayPal, the idea of being able to pay for things online, and made a whole shit ton of money. And then since then, he's taken some general ideas that I think that we can all agree are pretty good, like vehicles without emissions, which he did with Tesla. So if you are a venture fund kind of guy, and you have hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy a vehicle that's going to save the earth, like, great for you. All of these things, they don't do anything for the general populace. This is a 1% kind of dude. SpaceX, his thing of exploring the cosmos, which is what Raptor Command seems to be mostly into, is awesome because he blew up a Facebook satellite, like when one of his shitty rockets exploded before it launched.
Cool.
Yeah, no, that's pretty badass. Got to give Elon Musk credit on that.
You sure it wasn't a missile? Like, it was a direct attack?
But yeah, so like if you let's go back to Raptor Command, because they put out this song. What was the name of the video that they're
well, they put out videos too.
And that's the one that's about colonizing Mars, right?
Sure.
Yeah, no, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's his main goal, where he could, you know, bust unions and make people work through literal rivers of shit, like he does here on Earth, but he could do it all the time on Mars.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm just imagining, like, the dudes in Raptor Command, like, it's power metal, guys. Of course it is. What else would it be? But these dudes just like singing these anthems to the greatness and genius of Elon Musk and how humanity is going to reach Mars. It's like, I don't think you're going to be on the ship, pal. I think you're going to be stuck here to work in the human minds, because you're not a beautiful woman 20 years younger than Elon Musk, and you're not unaccountably wealthy. Those are the dudes that Elon is concerned with. If you can't afford a Tesla, there's no fucking way you're getting on a SpaceX rocket to go to the to go die in Mars on whatever horrible farm that he sets up.
The acid mines of Mars.
Yeah. And it's the idea is like I take such umbrage with the very concept of the future of humanity is going to be on colonizing Mars. Do you know how difficult it would be to survive there? There is so much that could easily go wrong. When we have an environment right around us that is perfectly suited to us, all we have to do is stop releasing so many goddamn emissions and polluting the ocean. Like, we could keep living here for a whole long time. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the process of launching all these rockets and releasing all these emissions to show that you can do it, we're going to kill ourselves.
Well, Mars is the next great tax haven.
Yeah, it's like Delaware in the cosmos.
It's like the libertarian Gulch islands that they try to build and then they inevitably fail.
Yeah, it's like Google wouldn't have to put all their money in Ireland. They can just put it on Mars. And then that's where they got the servers too.
I just this libertarian dystopia is deeply terrifying to me because it's, you know, several men, just an oligarchy of unaccountably rich people, like, in charge of everything. I don't like that idea. I don't buy into this great man of history bullshit. And seeing just thousands and thousands of people just going to bat for Elon Musk, even when he does something stupid like calling a hero a pedophile, the hoops that they jump through to justify everything this guy does because he's supposedly another great man of history, it's deeply, deeply concerning.
Yeah, I'd like to see the circles of Elon Musk fans and Tool fans and see how much of an overlap there is and how much they'll apologize for their heroes.
Kill your idols, people. Everyone's bad. And, like, trying to choose one person, like, as the supposed savior of mankind is just the dumbest fucking thing you can do.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Elon Musk raped somebody. He's just got that face.
I mean, yeah, probably. I'm not calling Elon Musk a rapist on the show, but...
Does he know Tim Allen?
Maybe it is. Maybe it goes deeper than we think.
Is there anything you guys else would like to talk about Elon?
No.
He sucks. Stop liking him. Go away. Yeah.
Is the moment Elon Musk fails will be my best day.
Well, it won't be far because it's people in the know, business insiders seem to think that all of his projects are going to be collapsing incredibly soon. Tesla is a deeply fucked up operation in that they cannot meet any of their production demands. Vehicles themselves have shoddy construction values. People will be set on fire within them. Elon keeps making efforts to break any union efforts that Tesla would have. So if you have an exhausted workforce that can't keep up with production as it is, you're going to have a lot more defects and a lot more lawsuits. And just basically also their lunch is going to be eaten by every other car manufacturer who's working on, you know, zero emission vehicles. This is not like totally proprietary equipment. So
yeah, it won't didn't be they long. Release their patents a couple of years ago?
I cannot confirm or deny.
For the good of the world, I remember this.
Like yeah,
the,
yeah.
Like all the Tesla patents, they just because Elon Musk was so full of himself and so sure that he was saving the world and he wanted other car manufacturers to do the same thing, he just released his like electric car manufacturer patents and like all his blueprints online. Like they were just like open. To anyone who wanted open to build source. A electric car. Yeah, exactly. So,
also,
good idea, man.
Yeah, SpaceX keeps blowing up rockets, which is incredibly expensive, and so that's not exactly going to be a sustainable thing in the future. Although I think it would be great if a whole bunch of incredibly wealthy capitalists got in one of those rockets and decided to make a trip.
Yeah, like Ellen, please. Do it. He's like, yeah, it's like you were saying, he's Lex Luthor, but he's like the Lex Luthor from Batman versus Superman, and that he sucks.
I think he's another grifter. There is no such thing as a great man of history. I think this is just a grifter who is in way over his head, and also from the rumors I've heard, incredibly addicted to stimulants.
I believe
right on.
Let's go ahead and close this though. We've got one more track that we didn't get to talk about, and it's a song. You sent this to me, Jordan.
Yeah. I'm a shit magnet, apparently, because I find all these bad things. That's my curse in life. But I just came across this in the year 2018, a band called Dead Nerves from Michigan. And to give you an idea of this band, the picture of them on Bandcamp, I believe it's the vocalist, has a shirt that says No Lives Matter. Careful on that edge. Released a song called Obama Nation. Again, this is 2018. He hasn't been president for 2 years now, but they felt the need to write a song about him. And if you'll permit me, I'll just run through these lyrics because they are just extra dumb. Welcome to my Obama nation, where nothing is for free. No handouts, no more bullshit socialism disease. My Obama nation, my Obama nation. Oh yeah, full on war, full of gun laws. Crimson communists flee. Everything deceased in the wake of my flex, in the wake of my flex. Run, run for your life, run, run for your life. Burn, you son of a bitch, Man only tries to fix the problem instead of curing the cause. Don't you think it's time for a few less fucking feds? What the fuck? What the fuck? I've been salivating for a four-course White House meal. I've been salivating to release these hounds from hell. My Obama nation. Everything comes to an end. Everything comes to an end. Burn in hell and die alone. You wouldn't work for it. Now you'll die for it. You piece of shit. You shouldn't have voted for him. I'm an industrial motherfucker who knows what it's like to serve with fucking honor your worthless constituents. My Obama nation. This is my kind of coup. Bloody old school.
Poetry.
Just what the poetry. Fuck is he talking about? It's. I think that with the, you know, benefit of a little bit of hindsight, we can see like Obama was like a center right kind of dude. Like, what is this shit about handouts and communism? Please, I wish that existed. It didn't.
Yeah, I wish Obama actually did something like healthcare reform for real. But nope,
that's a different discussion. That's not what this guy's talking about at all.
I don't know what this.
There's
guy's
no nuance
about.
Going on with.
I don't know.
This.
So yeah, right, I have no idea what he's really mad about.
The music itself sounds like an extremely shitty version of the Acacia Strain circa like 10 years ago. Like, it's pretty much a dead ripoff. It's bad in it's, I guess, it's bad in a way that it's just like a ranting idiot. Like, just has a couple of words that they're going to cling to, like Obama and socialism, and just fill in the rest like a Mad Lib with some fucks and some dies and hells.
This guy was super psyched when he realized he could put Obama and abomination together.
Yeah, we need to go ahead and put a moratorium on like this portmanteau thing. Like, I never want to hear of another Revengeance. I saw a band put out something called like Mornography the other day. Like, we got to stop this.
That's not good.
the dumbest tendency in metal. It's bad, man.
I just like that this guy had an original thought that Kanye West had like 5 years ago. With abomination, as far as lyrics are concerned. It's just,
I'm willing to bet that somebody like a Dinesh D'Souza probably had that same thought years before that, too. It's probably not an original thing. But the video for this, like, it's just completely jam-packed with filters that, you know, stock filters that come with whatever shitty... video editing software you're using, but if you look at it, you can clearly see that this live video performance is in front of maybe 8 people, if that. It's extremely badass. So I don't foresee Dead Nerves making a mint anytime soon, but maybe they can pull a couple of video views and Bandcamp downloads from Chuds. That's probably the best. Sorry, go ahead.
I wonder if, like, I'm sure there's so much more. I know there's been like Alex Jones Black Metal that's out there.
Yeah.
I can't recall what it's called, but I feel like I've seen it like 5 times, 5 different ways. So a lot of the shit is like real goofy, but when it's not goofy, it's just it's very sad. It's just incredibly heartbreaking to see that there's a human out there so stupid.
Yeah. I think that where Dead Nerves is fucking up is that where the other bands that we covered have, clean singing and more melody, which gives a greater appeal to the general audience, which is what you need to run a successful grift. You got to be as accessible as possible, whereas Dead right. Nerves just sounds like an extremely shitty Acacia Strain. It makes it difficult to make out the lyrics, which, you know. Your chud uncle is not going to be able to figure out what's going on with all that screamo shit. So, just food for thought on your grift. Maybe reconsider how you're going about it. And I wish you the best of luck with stealing a couple of dollars from some idiot.
Yeah, retool your operation. Differentiate your assets. I don't know.
Yeah.
Diversify your bonds.
That's exactly. It.
I think that I am tapped out on this one. What do you guys have?
Yeah. I'm emotionally exhausted.
Yeah, I have to record another show about Chuds in 20 minutes.
I'm so sorry. Well, we certainly won't hold you up.
Yeah, I'll actually, if you guys for some reason like hearing my voice and want to hear about a dumb book, I'll include a link to that whenever it goes live. We've got bonus shows coming out soon. I think we're going to watch Until the Light Takes Us. Is that what we decided?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. We could also do the Officer Down clown from Slipknot movie.
Let's do Until the Light Takes Us to get it out of the way.
All right. Well,
just rip the Band-Aid off.
Right. Yeah. Look forward to that coming up on Patreon soon. I've been Joe Thrash and Kill, and I gotta go.
Later, bros. Keep it metal.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.